Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we always begin our prayer having recourse to Our Lady, as well as Saint Joseph, our Father and Lord, and our guardian angel. We are always in their company. And today we do our prayer with that great Marian devotion par excellence, as Pope Paul VI called it in his letter Martialis Cultus in 1974. The great devotion of the Rosary. And perhaps we are inclined to ask, where did we get the Rosary? Where did it come from? Was it some pope that gave it to the Church? Was it Our Lady that gave it to Saint Dominic? The answer is, the Rosary arose out of popular piety. In the early centuries of the Church, people would often pray the Our Father. Saint Paul of Thebes, who lived in the 3rd and 4th centuries, is said to have recited 300 Our Fathers every day, counting them by shifting pebbles from one pile to another. And gradually, people who could not read wanted to accompany the monks in the monasteries by praying 150 Our Fathers in keeping with the 150 Psalms of the Breviary. And then around the 11th century, the Hail Mary began to replace the Our Father. And so people counted them, often on beads strung together on a piece of string. They would say either 50 Hail Marys at once or 150, often divided into three groups of 50. Because of the 150 Psalms, this devotion became known as the Angelic Psalter, with a P, Psalter, from the word for psalm. And we should remember that when they were saying the Hail Mary at that time, it was not the Hail Mary that we know today. It was without the second part that was added in the 16th century and contained only the first part, which comes from Scripture. Those words of the Archangel Gabriel to Our Lady, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That great praise of Mary from God himself through the angel. And then those other words said by Saint Elizabeth, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." The name Jesus was added later, and an indulgence was attached to the use of the name. And then in the 13th century, Saint Dominic, who was using the Angelic Psalter, the Rosary in his fight against the heresies of his day, according to the account, was visited by Our Lady, who encouraged him to use the Rosary in that fight against the heretics, and he was, of course, very successful. Pope Leo XIII, in his encyclical Supremi Apostolatus in 1883, wrote of St. Dominic's efforts, "Great in the integrity of his doctrine in the example of his virtue and in his apostolic labors, he dauntlessly declared war on the enemies of the church, not by force of arms, but through burning faith in the Holy Rosary. He was the first to establish and personally spread this devotion with his sons to the four corners of the earth, and both Saint Dominic and then Dominicans ever since have been very important in spreading devotion to the Rosary. The very name Rosary came to be applied to this devotion, it would seem, in the 14th century. The name Rosary, or in Latin Rosarium, means a rose garden. It was applied to medieval love lyrics, and hence to this love lyric to Our Lady. Then the mysteries on the life of Christ gradually came to be formulated. At one stage, there were 150 different mysteries of the life of Christ, one for each Hail Mary, but then they were reduced to the 15 decades of 10 Hail Marys, with the 15 mysteries comprising the infancy of our Lord in the joyful mysteries, the passion and death in the sorrowful mysteries, and his resurrection and glorification in the glorious mysteries. In 1568, Pope Pius V, who was a Dominican, prescribed the last words of the Hail Mary, beginning, "Holy Mary, Mother of God." And in 1569, the following year, he standardized the Rosary in its present form. And ever since, we have been saying it. And since it arises out of popular piety, not imposed from above, but arising from Christian hearts who love, Lord, you, who want to meditate on your life, who want to accompany the monks and others saying the breviary, and who love Mary, and who want to tell her many times, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and honoring you in each Hail Mary, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." And then that ardent petition, which we all accept, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, and my mother," we can add, "pray for us sinners." We're all sinners. We need your help now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us now when we are praying the Hail Mary, when we are saying the Rosary, when we are doing anything, and be there at the hour of our death to put in that good word for us as our advocate, as help of Christians. What great blessings come from saying the Rosary. The popes have constantly recommended it. Pope Leo XIII wrote 16 encyclicals in successive years on the Rosary. Pope Pius IX, the pope before him, when he was on his deathbed, was asked by one of the prelates accompanying him what was on his mind as he lay there dying. And he answered, "Actually, I'm contemplating the 15 mysteries of the Rosary depicted on the walls of this room. If you only knew how encouraging they are to me. Considering them is most comforting. Meditating on the joyful mysteries, I forget about my pain. Considering the different phases of the Passion, I am greatly heartened, since I tread the path of suffering in the company of Christ, who went before me. When I bring the glorious mysteries to mind, I am filled with joy. It is very clear to me that all my pain is being converted into glory. What great solace The rosary has been on my deathbed. The rosary is like an abridged version of the gospel. It provides rivers of peace to those who say it well. By far, it is the richest devotion and the one most abundant in graces. It is certainly the most pleasing to the heart of Mary. Remember me, my sons, by this final testimony I am giving to you now. The great legacy, the final last word and testament of Pope Pius IX, to give to the world and to encourage the world to pray the rosary. Then Pope Paul VI wrote that beautiful apostolic exhortation, Martialis Cultus, in 1974, encouraging us to say the rosary, and in particular, to say it in families. In that document, he said, "There is no doubt that the rosary should be considered as one of the best and most efficacious prayers in common that the Christian family is invited to recite. We are well aware that the changed conditions of life today do not make family gatherings easy, and that even when such a gathering is possible, many circumstances make it difficult to turn it into an occasion of prayer. There is no doubt of the difficulty, but it is characteristic of the Christian in his manner of life not to give in to circumstances, but to overcome them, not to succumb, but to make an effort. Families which want to live in full measure the vocation and spirituality proper to the Christian family must therefore devote all their energies to overcoming the pressures that hinder family gatherings and prayer in common." The great exhortation of saying the rosary in family. We know too that when a family prays the rosary together, even though that may be only two members of the family, they can gain a plenary indulgence under the usual conditions. And that is a great blessing too. But above all, as Father Peyton, that great propagator of the rosary, said, the family that prays together stays together. And sometimes if there have been arguments, harsh words before the rosary is said, afterwards there is peace, there is union. The devil wants to foster division. The family rosary brings us together. And it is so helpful when the children are invited to lead each one of them a mystery and to suggest the intention for which the family will pray that mystery. Children, when they can do that, are eager to say the rosary and to think of the intentions for which they want the others to pray. It may be some classmate, it may be children in another country who are going hungry, who are suffering the scourge of war, whatever. The family rosary is a great blessing for any family that says it. And then other popes. Pope John Paul II was a great propagator of the rosary. He said, for example, in 1980, the saying of the Angelus on the end of the rosary must be for every Christian, and even more for Christian families, like a spiritual oasis during the course of the day from which we can get strength and confidence. Only 2 weeks after his election as Pope in 1978, he said, "The rosary is my favorite prayer, a marvelous prayer, marvelous in its simplicity and its depth." And his successor, Pope Benedict XVI, in an address at the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome in May of 2008, said, "Today, together, we confirm that the Holy Rosary is not a pious practice banished to the past, like prayers of other times, thought of with nostalgia. Instead, the Rosary is experiencing a new springtime. Without a doubt, this is one of the most eloquent signs of love that the young generation nourish for Jesus and his Mother Mary. In the current world so dispersive, this prayer helps to put Christ at the center, as the Virgin did, who meditated within all that was said about her Son, and also what he did and said. When reciting the Rosary, the important and meaningful moments of salvation history are relived. And again, an urgent exhortation to say the Rosary from Pope Benedict. And then Pope Francis, on the 16th of August 2013 at Castel Gandolfo, said, "Mary joins us. She fights at our side. She supports Christians in the fight against the forces of evil, especially through prayer, through the Rosary. Hear me out, the Rosary. Do you pray the Rosary each day?" And the great desire of Pope Francis, who prays the Rosary himself every day, to encourage others, pray the Rosary. Pray the Rosary each day. The Rosary is a very powerful prayer. Powerful on one hand because it sanctifies those who pray it. When we meditate, Lord, on your life, when we beseech Our Lady, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, when we honor Mary in that way, we are being sanctified. We are lifting our thoughts above to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. And then the Rosary is a powerful prayer in the intentions for which it is offered. It is a pleasing prayer to Mary, and when we pray it, praying for particular intentions, she hears us and she asks our Lord, you Lord, to fulfill those desires. We think, for example, of the Battle of Lepanto, fought on the 7th of October, 1571, and Pope Pius V, who had given us the Rosary in its standardized form only 2 years before, was encouraging the Christians in Rome to pray the Rosary for the success of that fleet in its battle with the Turkish navy, which had dominated the Mediterranean before that. And even though heavily outnumbered, the Christian navy under Don Juan of Austria was successful. Ships were sunk through the praying of the Rosary. And that year, Pope Pius V instituted the Feast of Our Lady of Victories, which was changed the following year by his successor to the title that we have today, Our Lady of the Rosary, in honor of that naval battle and the power of the Rosary in winning even battles. Our Lady at Fatima urged those three children, urged the world to pray the Rosary for the conversion of Russia. And that was a time before the Bolsheviks and later the communists would take over Russia and subject the church to that cruel persecution. And then many years later, communism came down in Russia. And who is to say that the many rosaries said for the conversion of Russia were not in great measure responsible for the fall of communism in that country and in its satellite countries? Lord, what a great blessing the Rosary is, which you, through the Holy Spirit, have given to the Church arising out of popular piety. It is a prayer which honors you In each Hail Mary, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And we meditate on your life. It is a Christological prayer, as Pope Paul VI said in Mariolis Cultus. We meditate on you. I recall sitting on an airplane some years ago, seeing across the aisle a young Asian man reading a book with its Chinese characters. It was a very small format book, and I thought to myself, that could be a Bible. And at the time, I was saying the rosary. And I thought to myself, you are reading the life of Christ, and I am meditating on the life of Christ in the rosary. And then the rosary is, of course, a Marian prayer in which we say 50 times the Hail Mary and the Hail Holy Queen at the end. And it is a Trinitarian prayer, beginning with the sign of the cross, praying the Apostles' Creed, which is a Trinitarian prayer, praying the Glory Be at the end of each mystery, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, truly a Trinitarian prayer, a very rich prayer, a very powerful prayer. And in that prayer of the Rosary, we meditate on so many aspects of our faith. There are so many virtues implied in the mysteries, so many dogmas of faith. All the sacraments are contained in those mysteries, especially when we consider the mysteries of light that Pope John Paul II added, the luminous mysteries, so that we now have 20 mysteries comprising the infancy, the public life in the luminous mysteries, the passion and death, and the glorification of our Lord. If we consider, for example, just the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, we could pray some time, for example, on the fact that the Blessed Trinity chooses Our Lady to be your mother, and pray about devotion to the Blessed Trinity. Or we could consider Mary's reply to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know man, her virginity, her chastity, and we could pray about that virtue of chastity. We could consider that it is an angel that appears to Our Lady, and pray about devotion to our own guardian angel. How often do we do that? Or we could consider Our Lady's response, be it done unto me according to thy word, her total self-giving to the will of God. And we could pray about our own docility to the will of God. Or we could consider the angel's greeting, Hail, full of grace. Mary is full of grace. And we could pray about her Immaculate Conception. In my little booklet, Understanding the Rosary, there is at the back 5 possible themes of meditation on each one of the mysteries, and for the 20 mysteries, a total of 100 different themes. In looking back over those themes some years after putting them together, I realized that they comprise the whole of our Catholic faith. The sacraments, the virtues, the devotions, the dogmas, the prayer for the Pope and the bishops and priests and vocations and the suffering and the dying. It's a compendium of the Catholic faith. And what a treasure that is, what a rich prayer we have in the Rosary when there is so much that we pray about. How much good the Rosary does us. And sometimes we might be inclined to say, oh, but I get distracted. We all get distracted. That is to be human. And we shouldn't stop praying the Rosary because we get distracted. Pope John XXIII once said the worst rosary is the one that doesn't get said. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, in his treatise on prayer, wrote, "If you have many distractions at prayer, that prayer of yours may well be upsetting the devil a great deal." Let us continue, even though we have distractions. That time that we give to the rosary, that time that we give, Lord, to you, is always deserving of a reward. It sanctifies us. It pleases you. It pleases Our Lady. And when we put those intentions in the mysteries of the rosary, Lord, for my mother, for this person that is dying, for that couple that are experiencing difficulties in their marriage, for that other one that just lost his job, you hear us. And as so many saints have said, Lord, you never said no to your mother on earth. You won't say no to her now in heaven. And as we finish our prayer, we make that resolution, if we haven't been saying the rosary, to take it up again. We can say it in so many different circumstances. We can say it in a church. And when we do that, we can gain a plenary indulgence, just as we can when we say the rosary in family. We can say it walking. We can say it traveling. We can say it anywhere. We make the effort to compose ourselves so that we don't have undue distractions. But if we do that, we can say the rosary well in any circumstance. And then it sanctifies us. And if we are saying the rosary, make the resolution to try to say it better. One good way of doing that is that brief pause before we begin to say the Our Father and the Hail Marys, after we have announced the mystery, and recollect ourselves for a few seconds. This mystery about your life, about Our Lady, what am I going to meditate on? What am I going to consider when I say this mystery today? And that helps us to concentrate, to have very specific themes for meditation. And then the rosary does us so much good. It is not only the vocal prayer of the prayers that we say, those prayers with a fixed formula, it is meditation. We meditate on some aspect of our faith, and it is contemplation when we simply look with love on those various scenes. What a rich prayer, what a beneficial prayer the rosary is. Lord, help us to say it. If we were not saying it, help us to say it better so that we meditate on your life and we praise you and Our Lady and the Blessed Trinity, and we are truly sanctified by it. Mary, our Mother, you who are the focus of those Hail Marys, help us to honor you, to honor Jesus, to honor the Blessed Trinity by saying the rosary well. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.